Welcome to another Carlin Live Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
So, a bit of a tragedy lately with cricket.
We've had a rough week or two in Australia, haven't we? We lost two of cricketing's greats for Australia. Rod Marsh, who, I mean, you certainly would have grown up with. I certainly remember growing up watching him play cricket and always excited to see him, especially when he came out to bat. And, of course, Shane Warne both passed away very quickly. So it's sort of really rocked Australia.
It has, and unfortunately, they've joined two of my all-time favourite historical figures for cricket, and that's Joe Darling and Don Bradman. They were the two people in history of cricket that I really admire the most. But you know, you reckon I grew up, you know, with him, Rod Marsh, and that's true. The '70s were very, very close to my heart because you know you had the Chappells, you had Greg and Ian Chappell, you had. Lillian Marsh, what a combination, bowler and wicketkeeper, and Tomo. And really, you know, I've enjoyed watching cricket since, but it wasn't until Shane Warne hit the scene that it really grabbed my imagination again.
Yeah, well, I mean, cricket in that time, there was so much going on, wasn't there? Like the change, like it went from that very traditional sport. Now, if you're watching cricket now, you see all the different formats, but back then there wasn't. It was really just Test cricket. And, of course, with all the changes with the different uniforms and World Series and all those things going on. Remember Lily with his aluminium bat and the helmets and all those type of things. So as a kid, that's sort of I used to actually really enjoy the cricket. And Rod Marsh, you know, like remember when he was a pretty good batsman, wasn't he? Obviously, yep. Great wicketkeeper,
left-handed batter.
He could hit the ball.
Yeah.
And I remember always every time he came into bat, it was that sort of what's going to happen, like because he was so aggressive with the bat. And remember that time he hit the ball and the bat actually broke. And I can still picture that, like him standing in the middle of the pitch, just looking at the handle, thinking, "What the hell happened?" But so Rod Marsh with his sort of. I mean, he wasn't the greatest looking of athletes, was he?
Oh, he was.
Had a similar moustache to you. But God, he was agile behind the stumps.
He was, but when he first started, as a as an aside, everyone sort of associates Lilly to Marsh,
oh, yeah.
and they're both from Western Australia, and Dennis Lilly and Rod Marsh made their test debuts in the same series, and they actually retired together in the same game. That's amazing.
That's fitting, isn't it? Because again, like. That sort of scoreline, bold Lily caught Marsh,
yeah.
was from an Australian perspective, like a fan of Australian cricket. Like when they were together, there was always something exciting, wasn't it? And back then, of course, the fast bowlers, I mean, look at the West Indies, just dominated cricket back then, didn't they, with their fast bowlers. And we had Tomo and we had Lily. So we had the same. It was all about speed.
Yep.
So Shane Warne, I mean, when Shane Warne sort of hit the scene in the early 90s as a leg spinner, it was sort of, in my mind, you think, sort of like a not a lost art, but to me it was a sort of an old man's art.
Almost a renaissance. Like,
yeah, and all of a sudden you got this young, blonde, spiky-haired guy with earrings who's bowling leg spin.
You know, the thing, first off, with an interesting stat about Lillian Marsh, Marsh had the world record for 355 dismissals behind the stumps, yet Dennis Lilly took 355 wickets, the same number. How amazing is that?
It's almost like the synergy between those two. When you look at their, like some from WA, like playing together, all those things. That combination is magical, isn't it? It's something that like people like us, will remember forever. Like you'll never lose those memories of those guys playing cricket together. I don't know if this is true, but I remember back in the day the other record that Marsh had was sinking the most cans from Australia to England. Do you remember those stories?
Yeah. But was it him? Was it him?
Well, my understanding was Dougie Walters. And see, again, I mean, hasn't cricket changed like in terms of personalities? You think back then to the it was just very different the way people were in the media. They were just who they were. They just got on with it. And apparently Dougie Walters had the record. He was in the low 40s, 42, 43 beers, cans from Australia to England, going over to play the Ashes, I assume. And then apparently Rod Marsh broke it and took it to 44, 45 beers. And then the story is that Booney, of course, is another character, went over the 50. But Dougie Walters is saying no, because he actually started when he left Launceston, and Dougie Walters was only from Sydney to England.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, I was going to ask you, does that mean that he had 40 Walters? Was he 40 years old and had 40 beers?
Well, that's a lot of beer, isn't it, when you think about it? And to be in a plane sitting there doing nothing. But could you imagine if that happened now? I mean, it would just be – it wouldn't happen. It wouldn't be allowed to happen. But – and interestingly then, Shane Warne sort of continued that – was that sort of bad boy larrikin of cricket. I mean, that was normal, and then it sort of went into a different phase. It may be a bit more professional maybe if people would think of it that way. And then all of a sudden, this guy who's drinking, smoking, getting caught up in all sexting. Sorts of scandals, sexting. Well, I think it was even before sexting was probably the term was used.
Yeah. No, he was an amazing character. And, you know, his legend started with one ball.
Yes.
One ball. His first ever ball against England in a test series back in, it was June 1993. Gatting was the unlucky batsman, yeah. And he bowled this ball behind him. And you know, when you watch it nowadays, you think it's heading for a wide. But it spun behind his legs and took his wicket.
It was amazing. And Mike Gatting, again, like Rod Marsh standing out there with that look on his face, saying, what did I just do with that bat? Mike Gatting just couldn't believe it. And how many times did he just look? I mean, he's just like, what the hell just happened?
He couldn't
and
believe
it. And was that sort of started his legend, didn't he? And how many... He seemed to have that ability, not just on lots of different style pitches, to really move that ball. And, of course, that's the sort of thing about spin bowling, isn't it? Like speed bowling, you know it's coming at you, and, I mean, it's going to deviate, but he could move that ball a mile.
Is it my imagination, or did Shane Warne come to the fore when he was most needed in the big games? I remember there was a... the World Cup for one day, he came good in one of those. He took three crucial wickets that really got Australia on the winning leg to win the cup. I remember a test in Adelaide where he turned the whole game with a fifer in the second innings to really destroy the opposition, and he just seemed to be the man who stood up when most needed.
I agree. I think he was highly competitive athlete, wasn't he? And so. Yeah. 708 test wickets, which was he led for a long time until Muralitharan.
Beg your pardon?
The Sri Lankan spinner, Muralitharan, who had some controversy, didn't he, about his technique, but he's now got 800. He's the leading wicket taker. Lots of Australians would probably think, hang on a minute, some of those weren't legit, but that's what the record book says. Yes, but he was very, very competitive person. You could see that when he played, and he could just sort of get himself focused and put pressure on batsmen. And I was reading an article during the week, obviously lots of stuff coming out about Shane Warne, and he said part of being the leg spinner is because he would be a bit over the top with his appeals and his sledging and so on, but he said part of the magic is to make the batsman think that something's happening when nothing is. And he seemed to be very good at putting, like, there was batsmen who were obviously scared of him, and he had those sort of rivalries, didn't he, with batsmen who he would just love getting on top of and humiliating, getting them out more often than not.
Psychology 101?
Yeah, well, we talked about it the other day, didn't we? What did he call it? Some mental disintegration.
You know, one of the memories about Shane Warne, and unfortunately part of his death recently was because he was dieting, liquid diet or something like that. Do you remember the 2003 World Cup in South Africa where he got sent home? He didn't pass a drug test. And it was because he blamed his mum, giving him a diuretic or something.
Diuretic, they're called. Yes, yeah. It's to diuretics make you lose fluid.
Yeah.
And so that it is, people use it when they're dieting. They can, if you're losing water.
Yeah.
Obviously, you lose mass as well, and bodybuilders use them a lot when they're competing because it actually removes water from the system and they look more lean. He got a year ban for that. I mean, these days I don't think that would happen, but back then at the time, you think, oh, this was a bit of a storm in the teacup, but they seem to be going after him. Like, to get 12 months for that type of thing, I thought at the time when, like, I was obviously doing sport at the time, you think, well, there's people doing a lot worse out there with drugs. So that surprised me at the time that they'd give him 12-month ban.
It didn't surprise me because we talk about characters and legends in cricket, and those characters are being forced out of the game. And I think in that period, in the 2000 to 2005, is where they were getting rid of a lot of them, and I think he was just a scapegoat.
Well, that's what you got to wonder, don't you? Because he, I mean, he's that type of character. Imagine if you were running the sport. You've got this really controversial figure who has created headlines for all sorts of reasons. And he really, I mean, he sort of, you know, think at the time, like there was sporting people around the world were becoming sort of famous outside of their sport, weren't they? They're becoming media celebrities. Michael Jordan, for example, and I know Shane Warne loved him, and you know, even used his number. And sort of he sort of became that person in Australia, didn't he? He became that media person that everyone loved to look at. And he was sort of, from a bloke's perspective, he was doing all these things that blokes really probably appreciated back in the day. Not maybe now, it's not politically correct, but back then he was sort of that hero off on and off the field. But so I imagine the administrators found it difficult to deal with him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but he was he's a controversial figure. People love him or hate him. He's one of those types of people. And
I think more people love him than hate him.
Oh, absolutely. But the people that hate him or the people that dislike him, they seem to have a bit of a chip on their shoulder about him. It's almost like, oh, he shouldn't be behaving like that, you know. I don't agree with this.
Well, there's always that level. I mean, I use the term role model, but I don't think sports people should be role models. They're good at their sport and they get famous for different reasons. And the media are the ones that make them famous, aren't they?
Yeah.
And so you're only going to, I mean, so therefore there is some expectation, isn't there, that you're going to follow sort of society norms and have good values and set standards for people, especially people say, oh, we want kids looking up to you, that type of thing. But he certainly did his stuff out in the field, didn't he? He was, I mean, would you think he's got to be considered one of the greats of Australian cricket and maybe world cricket?
Well, he was one of the Wisden Five cricketers of the century for the 20th century, and he was him and Bradman were in the top five, deservedly. I mean, he was to bowling almost what Bradman was to batting. And, you know, he was much loved around the world. India, you know, they loved him. He actually was a playing coach of the Royals in the inaugural Indian Premier League and took them to they won the championship.
Yeah, well, after he retired from Test cricket, one day cricket, like IPL, was just firing up, wasn't it? So it was perfect in that sense that you can still play cricket. And he came back and played in the Big Bash League here and did all sorts of stuff. So cricket now has that opportunity for players to have that great, you know, time in Test cricket and one days and so on, and then play all these other forms of cricket and make a lot of money too.
Absolutely. But one of the things that have disappointed me recently was, you know, in his commentating, I hear a lot of people criticise his opinion, but, you know, I'm thinking, can't they show the guy some respect? He's coming from a position of knowledge, yet they're poo-pooing what he's saying. And I'm thinking, you need to listen to it. He's an observer and he's giving his spiel, you know, how he sees it. And I'm thinking, I respect that. I might not necessarily agree, but the way people have been...
That's what you want, isn't it? You don't want everyone having the same opinion. That's what commentating should be about. You want different opinions. You want a bit of backwards and forwards conversation about and disagreement because, of course, and how can you not say someone who's played that much cricket at that level doesn't know what they're talking about? Again, as you said, whether we agree or not is a completely different thing. It's like you've got to respect people's, obviously, their expertise.
I tell you, one thing that's annoyed me a little bit about Rod Marsh and Shane Warne's death is they both recently had a booster shot and for the COVID-19, and all the anti-vaxxers are getting on and blaming it. Now, come on, guys. They were minor. It was a minor issue. They did an autopsy with Shane and sort of it was natural causes, and the same with Rod Marsh. He had a heart attack.
It's a shame that gets – I mean, that's everything gets politicised now. People want to sort of take over something. I do want to finish on this story, though. I read it during the week. It was 1999, MCG, one-day match, 50 overs back in the day. MCG, full crowd. You can imagine it. I remember going to watch West Indies, Australia, 90-plus thousand people. Wow. The sound was deafening. Bay 13, you remember the infamous Bay 13?
Yes.
Well, it's got to the point where they're throwing VB bottles, etc., out on the field at the English cricketers, so they had to stop the game. Alex Stewart, who was the captain for England at the time, thought, well, the only person that can stop this is the king, Shane Warne. So he went up to the dressing room and said, hey, can you come out? And Shane Warne was a bit reluctant. He said, these guys will, you know, rip me a new one. But he ended up grabbing Mark Waugh's helmet and put it on as a bit of a joke, and out they went. Alex Stewart and him walked out. I don't know if you remember it. And actually, the crowd started like the Messiah, you know, up and down, shouting his name, Warnie. And then he sort of said, come on, guys, you've got to stop. That's enough. We don't want to be doing this. And they actually did. So he tamed Bay 13. And fittingly, of course, Bay 13 is not there anymore. It became the Great Southern Stand. And this week they announced that it's now going to be the SK Warne Stand. So isn't that fitting to go from being the king of the MCG in that case and then having obviously now having that stand named after him?
Condolences to all the friends and family of both men, both champions.
Great cricketers for Australia.
So ends another Carl Unlaid Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.